The fourth reading of Parshas Emor turns the corner, a new direction. Having spoken about Kohanim, exemplary behavior, and ultimately the concept of Kiddush Hashem, the Torah now begins to talk about the hallowed moments on our Jewish calendar, beginning, of course, with Shabbat Kodesh, which is the holiest of days, and from there we move into a cycle or a discussion of the cycle of the festivals. The first Yom Tov, of course, is Pesach. And so the Torah gives us the details of the celebration, the observance of the Yom Tov that commemorates our liberation from the land of Mitzrayim. And immediately after talking about the Yom Tov, the holiday of Passover, the Torah begins to talk about the agriculture of the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. You've come to this land, and now you're going to begin to harvest or to cut its produce. And so the Torah tells us that a certain amount of that produce has to be immediately set aside. It's the first thing you cut in the land of Israel. It's some barley. It's cut for the purpose of a korban. And after it's cut, then it's waved. And then we begin to count. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Chapter 23, verse 15. After telling us that the new grain may not be consumed until the first korban is brought, this is the notion of chodosh, the new grain which is prohibited, the Torah goes on to say that after you have brought this special offering, which is brought in the measurement of an omer, and therefore it's called a korban ha-omer, and it comes along with an animal offering as well, usfartem lachem mimacharas ha-shabbos. So from the day after the cessation of work on the first day of Pesach, you begin to count. Miyom ha-viyachem es omer ha-tnufa. From the day in which you bring the wave offering, Sheva, Shabbosois, Temimois, Tehiena. They will be seven intact or perfect weeks, Shabbatot. Rashi tells us, Mimachras HaShabbos, that here the Torah does not refer to the Shabbat of working for 6 days and resting on the seventh, but here the Torah refers to the notion of stopping to work. So that's talking about Mimachras Yom Tov, from the day after Yom Tov, also known in the vernacular as the second day of Pesach. Temimois tehiyeno, these must be perfect and intact. Melamed, this teaches us, says Rashi, shemaschil umone, that we must begin the count mibo'erev, from the evening prior to the actual korban. But that's kind of strange. Since the korban has to be brought, and then we call it a counting of the korban, and the korban, the meal offering, is an omer, and this is called Sfirat Omer. And today is 25 days, La Omer. So the counting begins from the Omer, for the Omer, about the Omer. So if the counting is about the Omer, why wouldn't you first bring the Korban Omer and then start counting? Rashi says you can't do that. Because if you were to do that, Yim Shem Loikein, if you don't begin to count the night before, Einam Temimot, then you have not counted perfect or intact days. Because every day is comprised of an evening and then a day. As we read in the beginning of the narration of the Torah, when it talks about creation, the Torah narrates and says, Vayhi erev, vayhi boker, yom echad, yom sheni, yom shlishi. It was evening and it was morning. And we all know that when it comes to observing a particular day, be it a festival of the Jewish people or even a personal or important day, that it begins the night before. So how could you have counting on the first day without counting the night? If the night wasn't counted, so then you have a problem of temimot, which is still a little odd. And the Gemara discusses this at great length. In the Masechet Menachot on page 66, the Gemara gives us a give and take, a discussion, really contrasting the psukim, the verses here of Leviticus 23 with Deuteronomy 17. And over there it doesn't talk about the korban. Over there it just says, Mehachal chermesh bekamer, when you raise the sickle. Just gives you the time of when the harvest takes place, but doesn't talk about the details of the korban here. And the Gemara essentially acknowledges that had we had one or the other collection of psukim, we might have thought that we could either bring the korban at the time we please, or we could begin accounting at the time we please. But the Torah lays it out carefully and says, no. The korban must be brought biyom aviyachem, on the day that you bring it. It's got to be brought by the day. But the counting has to begin in the night because it says temimot. And since in Parshas Emor it emphasizes Sheva Shabbatot temimot tiyena, so then we know that the counting must begin on the night before. The pasuk goes on to say, so now I know when we begin the count on the night prior to the korban actually being brought. And how long does the count go for? Says verse 16, Ad mimacharas haShabbos, until at the end of the Shabbos, Hashvi, the seventh Shabbat, Tisburu Chamishim Yom, you count 50 days, V'yikraftem mincha chadosh la Hashem, and then you'll bring another mincha. This is also a new mincha. How could they both be new minachot? There's a new mincha on the second day of Pesach, a new meal offering from fresh grain, and then you call it a new mincha 7 weeks later. The answer is very simple. That the first meal offering, which was considered new, is from barley. But then 7 weeks later, we bring the first meal offering from wheat. And as a rule, all of the korban menachot were brought from wheat, with only two exceptions, one of them being the omer. So here, the word Shabbat does not mean cessation of work. It's interesting. The word Shabbat shows up here twice. In verse 15, it means cessation of work, not Shabbat in the typical sense. And in verse 16, it does not mean cessation of work, but also doesn't mean Shabbat. What does it mean? So Rashi says, if you take a look in the Targum, you'll see that Unklus rendered it Shavuasa Shvi'esa, which means the seventh week. In other words, this is not a question of a Yom Tov or cessation of work. This is not ordaining how you should behave. This is calling the notion of perfect counting, meaning you get seven full weeks. So Shabbat is also the seventh day, comes from the word Shvi, ultimately, but a week is comprised of 7 days. Shabbat is the seventh day. So the word week and the word Shabbat are not mutually exclusive. And here when it says Sheva Shabbatot, 7 weeks, it's to be read as weeks, not as seven Shabbatot that passed by, but actually 7 weeks. And Ad mimachras haShabbos haShvi is tispiru, until the end, Rashi says, Ad until v'loy ad b'chla, but not beyond that. Meaning, Hein arboim v'teisha yom. Ultimately, the count is comprised not of 50 days, but you count 49 days. So why does it say chamishim yom? That chamishim yom v'ikraftem mincha chadasha. Rashi says the 50th day, but yom ha-chamishim on the 50th day, takrivua. Rashi says, this is the way to expound the verse. If you want to read it in a straightforward, simplistic vernacular, Ad mimacharas haShabbos haShviyis, until the day after the seventh week. After the seventh week is Yom HaChamishim, because a week is comprised of 7 days. 7 times 7 is 49. So after 7 weeks, what day do you end up with? The 50th. So that's Tispiru. Up until there, you count. And Mikra Mesoidus, this is a pasuk that has to kind of be like a little bit cut and pasted if you want to make it work straightforward in the vernacular. And you bring a mincha chadasha. Rashi says this mincha rishona, this is the first mincha, the first meal offering. Huva, shahuva mina chadash, that's brought of the fresh grain. And that, of course, as I mentioned, is the notion of the wheat. You already brought a mincha sa'imer, and you touted that also as being the fresh, brand new grain meal offering, and now you're talking about another meal offering. So he says, "Ein nikashar minachas." The one we brought on the second day of Pesach is not like the other meal offerings. Shehi ba min hasa'idim, because it comes from barley, whereas the other flour-based offerings come from wheat. Okay, so now we have a pretty solid understanding of what's expected of us. We know when we have to start counting and until when we have to start counting. We know what catalyzes the count and we know how the count is drawn to its crowning conclusion. But really and truly, it's not the korban that catalyzes the count, because the counting takes place the night before. So the Gemara discusses this, and there's actually a dispute. In the Tosfos, there's a dispute between the Baal Halachas Gedolos and between Rabbeinu Tam. So, and this, the dispute according to Tosfos seems to be rooted in whether the counting really has to take, the cutting has to take place on the night before. So let me just clarify. It doesn't mean you didn't go out in the middle of the dead of the night and harvest the whole field. There was basically three bundles of fresh grain that were identified, and they were tied with a rope, and they were visible. They were seen. Everybody knew where it was. An enormous crowd would gather. You read about it in Megillat Rut. When Rut and Naomi arrive in the land of Eretz Yisrael, there's this huge crowd, huge kerfuffle, and it was actually the cutting of the Omer. And when the sun goes down, so there's still light in the sky. And then as the sun continues to move further away from the horizon, it gets darker. But it's not the dead of night. The dead of night is at midnight when the sun is all the way on the other side of the globe. So it's not like there's no light whatsoever. Initially, at Tzeta Kochavim, there is still a little light. You can only see 3 stars, not 3 billion stars. So those just in the beginning, there's still a little bit of light. It's been identified. It's been cut. It's been tied. Then all of a sudden, the people from the Bezdin come in, and there's a whole ceremony. Is this barley? Yes. Is this barley? Yes. Is this barley? Yes. 3 times, because people said it wasn't supposed to be cut on the day after Yom Tov. So therefore, we made a big deal about it to rule out the opinion of the Sadducees. And then they said, this is an omer. Yes, this is an omer. This is a sickle. Yes, sickle. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, it's a sickle. We know it's got barley. We know it's got a sickle. We know it's got an omer. Shall we cut? Yes. Shall we cut? Yes. Shall we cut? There's a whole ceremony. All this pomp and circumstance of people in there. And then, one fell swoop, cut. Next one fell swoop, cut. That's the cutting. It's not people say, hi, cut at night. So you're not harvesting a field at night. It's not like playing golf in the middle of the night. You know, it's not like This was a carefully choreographed event. And then the counting started. So they cut it, and the counting began, right there and then. What happens if they didn't cut it and the night passed? So there's a dispute. There's 2 versions in the Gemara. One Gemara says, you're in trouble. No carbon omer. Another opinion says, no. Another version says, no, you didn't cut it in the evening. You cut it during the day. And the Baal HaLachas Gedolah seems to follow the notion that the cutting must be at night, and therefore the counting must be at night. The Bein Hatam says there's another version of the Gemara that if you didn't count it at night, that's the ideal thing. That's how it should be done. But if you didn't cut it at night, you cut it in the morning. And as such, if you didn't count at night, you could still count in the morning. Now, the upshot is that the counting and the cutting go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. You cut and you count. Cut and count. Whenever you can, if you can cut, you can count. If you can't cut, you can't count. So everybody will tell you the ideal time to cut and count is at night, that's for sure. The only time you can bring a korban is bayom, during the day. That's for sure. Nobody argues about that. The question is, if you didn't count at night, could you still count during the day? But everybody will tell you the counting has to be in the evening. Why? Why? Because it says sheva shabbatot tmimot. It has to be perfect and intact. So when the Torah introduces us the idea of tmimot, of perfect, then we know it has to be whole days, not half days. Incidentally, when could you daven Ma'ariv? On the evening of Shavuot? We usually daven early.
To nightfall.
You have to wait to nightfall. Why do you have to wait to nightfall? Because Shavuot can only come after Sheva, Shabbatot, Temimot, whole days. The whole day has to go by. When the whole day goes by, that's when Shavuot comes along. So the Rebbe asks a very foundational question about this. Sounds so straight, sounds so easy. Listen to this. Page Shin Yud Aleph. Shin Yud Aleph, Simen Yud Gimel, Parsha Semer. Here's the question. Yesh Lisho. Sfiras HaOmer, counting of the Omer, is connected to what? To a blessing? Sfirat HaOmer, counting of the Omer, is connected to? No. It is 49 days. What's it connected to?
Pesach and Shavuot.
It's not connected to Pesach because it's the second day of Pesach. It's connected to? Well, at the end of it comes Shavuot. What's it connected to? Think about the words. Sfirat ha-omer. What is an omer? The counting of the omer. The omer is?
A korban.
So sfiras ha-omer kshura ba-akravas korban ha-omer. There's a korban ha-omer and a sfirat ha-omer. A korban called Omer, an offering in Beis Hamikdash called Omer, and then there is a counting called Omer. That's the corollary between Omer and Omer. So Sfira is connected to korban. Usfartim lachem, you count me Yom haviyachem es Omer atanufa. That's what we say. From the day you bring the wave offering, it's an offering, a Beit Hamikdash offering. So the Rebbe says, so if it's an offering, it's an offering based idea. Why do we not then apply the rule with matters of holiness? Matters of holiness means that which is connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Organically speaking, the term kachim, although broadly speaking it means holiness, specifically it means matters of Beit HaMikdash. Beit HaMikdash, the noun is mikdash, holy house, and in the holy house, what do you get? Kachim, holy things. In the hat store, you'll find hats. In the grocery store, you'll find grocery. In the holy house, you'll find holiness. Okay, so anything that comes out of the Beis HaMikdash, what does the Beis HaMikdash pump out? Pumps out kachim, holiness. So we have a rule by kachim. And the rule by kachim is halayla hoylech achar hayoim. The night follows the day. That's a rule by kachim. It's a rule by Kachim because the korbanot, which were not managed to be brought onto the Mizbeach during the day that they were brought, can be brought in the Mizbeach at night. This is called in the Mishnah, Hekter Chalovim Ve'ivarim, the burning of the remnants, the leftover parts of the offering. How long can you burn it for? All night long. What happens the next day? No good. Ovar Yomo Batal Korbano. The day is gone, the opportunity for the korban dissipates. The korban has to be brought on the right day. If you didn't slaughter the korban, or you didn't grab the fistful of dough, or you didn't pour the wine, whatever the korban was during the day, don't bother doing it at night. But if you started it during the day, you can continue it at night. Why? Because by kodshim, halayla, the night, is holech, follows, achar, after. It goes after the day. So usually we say, vayihi erev, vayihi boker, yom echad, yom sheni, yom shlishi. When it comes to matters of creation, when it comes to worldly matters, even worldly matters which are holy and hallowed, like a sanctified time, when does it begin? The night before. Shabbos begins on Friday night, Yom Kippur begins Yom Kippur Eve, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to a korban, it's the night afterwards, not the night before. These are two principles. The Gemara Brachos talks about it in great detail, about the two different paradigms. The paradigm of Kodshim and the paradigm of creation, of Bria. The holy paradigm, Beis HaMikdash, and the paradigm of creation, that the world that God created. One is the night first, day follows. One is day first, night follows. Okay. So the Rebbe asked the question, since this is a korban at the end of the day, then why wouldn't it function like a korban? Most of the time, if it quacks like a duck, swims like a duck, and walks like a duck, it is a duck. Not here. This quacks like a duck and swims like a duck. It's a korban, ha'omer, and it is a svirat, ha'omer. It's a connection directly linked to a korban, and yet it swims a different direction. It starts the night before, tmimot. Kilomer shabachola negeil akrovas ha'korban is anything which happens about the korban, anything connected to a korban. So matchila, it always begins baboker. The night follows or is attributed to the day that preceded it. This is a really good question, by the way. This is a really strong question. In Nigla, in the revealed aspect of Torah, in the open exoteric parts of Torah, there is no answer for this question. No answer. A korban should be a certain way. The answer to this question can only be found in the mystical realm of Torah. Only in Chassidus is there actually an answer to this question. So the Rebbe says, in Derech HaChassidus, yesh lahakdim ulahasbir, es hasiba pnimis. So let's step back for a second. Okay. All right. Let's talk about this business of days following nights or nights following days. Why is it, indeed, that Kachem is different? Why is it that by Kachem we say the night should follow the day, and then by everything else we say the day follows the night? Most mitzvahs, which are pretty holy, the day follows the night, including Shabbos and Yom Kippur. It's only based on Migdash things in which we say the night follows the day. Hasiba l'kach, the reason is, shebederach klal, hayimama maschila mahalayla, the reason that day usually begins at night is mishum shekach seder abriya. That's the way God set creation into motion. Vayihi erev, vayihi boker. The pasuk that repeats itself seven times. It was evening, it was morning. It was evening, it was morning. Matzavai hahischalti shel ha'olam, the beginning, the opening state of existence of creation of the world is a matzav, a situation of erev. We always start in the dark. And then, got to get out of the dark. Tafkid shel ha'adam, what's a person's mission and purpose? Lahoyer Cheshachze, to illuminate the darkness. How do you illuminate the darkness? Very good. With the light of Torah mitzvahs. And in doing so, Lahafech Esa Erev Lubaiker, we turn night into day. That's our job. The Tzemach Tzedek was once asked about a particular circumstance, a situation. And why didn't he oppose it more vociferously? And why didn't he make a war about it? And Tzemach Tzedek said, Anan po le di yamam anan. The Gemara makes a statement about people who have different tasks and purposes. And the Gemara, the statement is, we're day workers. We're day workers. So the Tzemach Tzedek, the play on words, he said, we're day workers. Our job is to illuminate. And we bring light. We don't focus on darkness. It happens to be when you bring light, the darkness runs away. Darkness doesn't do well at night when there's light. But that's our job. And this really is the job of a Yid. Your job of a Yid, Yid was given the Or HaTorah, given the light of Torah, and now your job is fire it up. Illuminate the darkness. But there's one exception to this rule. The exception to that rule is korbanot, offerings, kachim. And they're different from all the other mitzvahs. And the reason is that korbanot einam mevatem es hafichas ha-choshech ha-olam lo'er. Korbanot does not represent the transformation of darkness into light. Rather, he miyatzkim gili oir elyon. The Beis HaMikdash represents a profusion of light, an explosion of light, if you will. It's not, the Beis HaMikdash was not a byproduct of creation, or what was going on in the world, but on the contrary, the Beis HaMikdash was a cut above, a slice of heaven existing on earth, a place on earth where everything was exactly the way Hashem wanted it to be. And that's where the presence of Hashem was revealed in. And people could actually know the Creator. And that's why the pinnacle of the Holy is the Holy of Holies, in which space doesn't really occupy. There's no space. The place where the Aron is, it can be measured, but it doesn't measure up. Eina min hamida. It's called nimna hanimna. It's the possibility of possibilities. It makes no sense. It breaks the notion, the gravitational reality of space, of time and space, doesn't exist in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is above space. It breaks the atmosphere of physicality and materiality. So therefore, the Beis HaMikdash doesn't represent darkness. When it comes to kachim, we say halayla hoylech acharayim. The night follows, not the day follows the night. Not that we take the darkness right, illuminate it, but the night follows. Why? Because after you make all that light in the Beis HaMikdash, what's your job then? Then your job is take that light and export it from the Beis HaMikdash into the darkness, like the menorah that was lit when it was still day and had windows that were facing outward, so that the Beis HaMikdash would become a source of light, that from there the darkness would get illuminated. But it didn't start in darkness. We started with brilliance. The brilliance, the explosion of light of the Beis HaMikdash, the darkness that you try to illuminate was the second step. That was only afterwards. And this, my dear friends, is the reason that Sfiras HaOmer has to start the night before. Maschalu mayna mi be'erev, says the Gemara. Start counting the night before. Benigid lahalachis kachim, in sharp contrast to the laws of kachim, halayla hoylech acharayim. Why? Yemei sfiras haomer heim, the days of sfiras haomer, as has known, yemei hachona lo kabbalas ha-Torah. They are the days in which we're supposed to be preparing to receive the Torah. And what does that mean? It's yomim, it's days, shabahem tzarech ha-odom lezachech es nafshe l'takenes midesov. This is the time to work with ourselves, to refine ourselves, to make ourselves better people, to make ourselves better, have better midot tovot. We should relate to others in a more compassionate, in a more sensitive, in a holier way. We should become better people. We become better people. We make ourselves into recipients, vessels, conventions and envelopes to receive the Torah. Because Matan Torah is not just about Matan Torah, it's also about Kabbalat HaTorah. So God will give the Torah. Will you be there to get it? That's the question. Will we receive the Torah? God gives it. Do we receive it? The famous wish that the Friedrich Rebbe used to give everybody before Shavuot, which the Rebbe followed this approach, was Kabbalas HaTorah B'Simcha U'Pnimius. You should receive the Torah in joy and with a sense of sincerity. But you have to receive it. Hashem gives. Any takers? Are you accepting? And the only way you could accept, you have to prepare. You can't just wake up the morning of, okay, I'm ready to take it. You got to make yourself ready to accept and receive it. That's what these days are about. And because that's what Sfiras HaOmer is about, the whole idea is to elevate ourselves from step to step, and we're counting up, not down. The Rebbe used to, every word he was exact about. He didn't like the word deadline, because it's dead. He liked the word due date. Because it represents birth. You don't count down. Count down to Shavuos. You count up to Shavuos. Count up. So this is, we're getting closer and closer and closer, step after step after step, until we're going to arrive, in Meretz Hashem, at the threshold of Shavuos. Ha'avodah b'yemei ha'sfira. Therefore, the avodah of the Sfiras HaOmer to Emes, it matches, it's in parallel, Eifei, to the concept of Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker. First was night, and then was day. Odom ayol pered yivolid. A person is born of Vildechaya. No person is born perfectly compassionate, perfectly sweet, perfectly good. We're all born with our own proclivities, which take us in different directions. What does Hashem expect of us? This one is born slothful, and this one is born angry, and this one is born selfish, and this one is born frustrated. And the list goes on. So what should you do with it? Refine it, change it. We're born a certain way, not to say, oh, I'm born that way. We're born a certain way to elevate ourselves and change it. Hashem gave every one of us limitations. We all got our own limitations, by the way. But what you have, one limitation. You have somebody else, not a limitation at all. And Hashem gave also all the koyach. He gave us all the ability and wherewithal to take those limitations and rotate them, transform them, elevate them. This, my friends, is the point of the days of Sfiras HaOmer. So therefore, our job is, we get handed a plate of Erev, and our job is to turn it into Boker, to the darkness into light. And that, my dear friends, says the Rebbe, is the real reason that Sfiras HaOmer has to begin Balayla, the counting. The Korban can only be brought by day, because Korban not only brought by day. But you want to cut the tall grass down? That's going to be done at night. You want to count? That has to be done at night. This is a sharp contrast to the Laila, the Hilach Achara Yom, the night following day of Kodshim, Mishum, Shemebuchina, Mehusis, because intrinsically speaking, the concept of counting the Omer is much closer in keeping to the notion of the order of creation of Vayihi Erev, and only afterwards Vayihi Boker. And now we know why we have to count at night.